on CBS Sports Radio.
I am Jim Rome. What's going on? Welcome back, or a very good afternoon to you. I am live in Southern California from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Listen, phone lines are open. I've got time on the back end. Telephone number is toll-free in the U.S. It's good in Canada, 1-800-636-8686. Lots to get to, but first things first, we start hour number three with a conversation with a third baseman for the Milwaukee Brewers. He's having a huge year, top 10 in the National League, in doubles, extra base hits, and runs batted in. Batting .295, 21 home runs, 69 runs batted in. He was a ninth-round pick back in 2011 out of Kent State. The Brewers are in first in the NL Central. They're at Philadelphia tonight. We are joined by third baseman Travis Shaw. Travis, nice to have you on today. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. How you guys doing?
Good, good, Travis. Good to talk to you. Team's coming off a tough series in Pittsburgh, but you're still in first place in the division, as I mentioned. So first, what's the mood among the players as you get ready to face Philadelphia tonight?
The mood's still good in the clubhouse. We obviously haven't played good since the All-Star break. Pitching has actually been pretty good. It's just offensively we've kind of hit a little bit of a rough patch here, but the mood in the locker room's still very, very positive. Like you said, we're still in first place late July, so I think everybody's still excited, and we're looking to get back on the winning side tonight.
Travis Shaw, my guest. You know, the Brewers were coming off that 73 win last season, so outside the clubhouse the expectations were not necessarily that high, yet here you are in late July and you are in first place. When did you first start thinking that this team had a chance to do something special?
I saw it in May a little bit. We were able to kind of rebound from a little bit tough stretches early on. We'd lose two or three straight, and we were able to right the ship pretty quickly. And then there was a series against the Dodgers. I don't know if it was in May or June, but we actually had all three of those games won. We only ended up winning one of those, but we let two get away from us late in the game. And I think that's when everybody in the clubhouse kind of started believing that, hey, the Dodgers, obviously, they're the class of the NL right now, this year. And we hung with them. We've actually had that series won all three games, and I think that showed everybody we could play with anybody.
Brewers third baseman Travis Shaw joining us. Now, you were drafted by the Red Sox. You came up with them, but then you were traded during the last offseason. Shortly after Milwaukee acquired you, manager Craig Counsell told you you're his guy third base, and he was not looking to platoon you with anybody. You look back on that conversation, what did that mean to you and your confidence?
It meant a lot. I mean, after what I went through the last 2 months of the season, trying to learn how to be a platoon player, I'd never been that. Obviously, that it didn't work out for me. Got all out of whack, and then to hear go to a new organization and then have faith in you and then want you to be their guy, it meant a lot going into this season and instilled some confidence.
Now, I wonder, I mean, is that the whole thing? Was just a matter of opportunity and you knowing that you were going to go out there and a manager who believed in you? Because you look at the numbers you're putting up, I mean, it's been a dramatic change. You're having a huge year. Was it just the opportunity, or did you do some things in the offseason to put you in this position as well?
A little bit of both, I think. I mean, opportunity is all you ever want in baseball. And for me, last year was my first full season in the big leagues. So obviously everybody goes through their learning curves and slumps in their first full season. And I went through it the second half of last season. I think what I went through last year was going to help me in my career moving forward. And I made some adjustments this offseason, and everything's kind of paying off right now.
Travis Shaw, my guest, you know, not to belabor the point, but it's such a hard game. It is such a hard game. And when you talk about the adjustments you made, you have a philosophy, which I find really interesting. You've talked about not caring. Now, that's not what that sounds. It's not that you don't care about baseball, but more that you can't read into everything and you can't get too high or too low, and that it's such a long season. So how do you go about not caring in a good way?
Yeah, it took a lot for me to get to this point. I mean, last year I got ate up pretty good with getting benched and everything that I was going through the second half of the season, and then probably right before the last week before the playoffs, it kind of struck me that hey, this isn't working. You just need to chill out a little bit, and went into the off season, kind of reset the whole thing, and then coming into this year, I was pretty focused on trying not to get caught up in all the failures and the negativity that baseball can bring. And whether it's an 0 for 4 or an 0 for 15, I mean, it's going to turn back in your favor eventually. And for me, it's helped keep me relaxed throughout the season so far.
Now, you're killing it, and you're on a first-place team. And whenever I have a Brewer on this show, the topic of playing in Milwaukee and in front of those fans in particular always comes up. What's your experience been like in that city and with the Brewer fans?
Brewer fans are awesome. They're so positive. The attendance this year has been really good. The fans are starting to get excited. We can tell. We can feel the energy from them in the home games. And we're on a long road trip right now. We're right in the middle of it. And as soon as we go home, we have a three-game set against the Cubs. And I think everybody's looking forward to getting back home and getting in front of those fans.
Travis, it's strange because I've done this long enough now that I remember when I was coming up, I was always younger than everybody I interviewed, and now I'm interviewing kids of guys that I used to interview. Your father's no different. Jeff Shaw was a two-time All-Star as a reliever. He has more than 200 career saves to his name. What was it like growing up the son of a major league ball player?
He kind of shaped me to who I am. I mean, I went to the field with him all the time, and when he was out in L.A., his last 3 years of his career, and everything that I've gone through, he's gone through in his career. Obviously, we're different positions, but having that firsthand experience at home and being able to call somebody and talk to when things hit the fan a little bit, it's been big for me.
You mentioned he was with the Dodgers, so you spent part of your time in Ohio and then part of it right here in Southern California. What do you remember about what it was like to go to Dodger Stadium as a kid?
I just remember going there every day, hanging out with a couple other kids that went to the stadium. We'd go out, shag during BP, and then just kind of roam around Dodger Stadium throughout the game. And that's kind of where I grew up a little bit. That's where I learned to love the game. And Dodger Stadium still holds a very special place in my heart.
Travis, can I say this? I mean, we talked about some things that were kind of heavy as it relates to baseball, but it's nothing compared to a much bigger picture. And last month, your newborn daughter underwent multiple open-heart surgeries. She was born with a severe heart condition, which you knew about, but what was it like to have to go through something that gut-wrenching, and how is she doing right now?
Yeah, that was, I mean, we knew going in that it was going to be tough, and then I don't think I realized how tough it was going to be when you see kind of she's born, you're hanging out with her for 3-4 days, she looks fine, and then they just wheel her away, and you can't see her or hold her for, it ended up being 3 weeks, and that was the hardest part, not being able to hold her. Just seeing her hooked up to all the machines, the breathing tubes, it was definitely an eye-opening experience for me, and it put a lot of things into perspective. It goes back to the not caring thing. You realize there's a lot more important issues than just baseball all the time, and she's doing a lot better now. She's getting better. She'll have another procedure here coming up here in a couple months, but hopefully it won't be as severe as the first one.
You know, even a couple of your teammates got very emotional talking about how you would spend the morning at the hospital and then come to the ballpark and play and then go back to the hospital. I mean, on the one hand, it's you don't want to care too much about something, but was baseball on any level, was that something of an escape or a release?
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, it's you spend all day at the hospital. She's still in the hospital, so that's still my routine when I'm at home, and baseball is a nice escape to get away from that, and baseball has kind of become fun again. It's not a grind or a hassle anymore. It's just become fun to get away and just play for a couple hours and not think about what's going on.
Isn't that great? That part of it. And one more thing, too. When you talk about baseball being fun, David Ortiz is somebody who's given you some advice in the past. It's got to be awesome to play with a big fellow like that. What was it like to play with him, and what'd you learn from him?
He taught me a lot when he was there. He taught me a lot about hitting. He taught me a lot about everything. And he reached out to me when I got traded, and he told me, just take this opportunity and run with it. Same thing happened to him. He got released by Minnesota, picked up by Boston, and the rest was history. And he basically said, hey, if somebody doesn't want you and somebody else does, take that faith that the other team has in you and run with it.
Isn't that a great call to get from a guy like that in that situation? And that's exactly what he's done. Travis Shaw, I mean, top 10 in the NL in doubles, extra base hits, and runs batted in. Travis, thanks for sharing that story. Really nice to have you on the program, and great to talk to you. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Thanks.
You got it. Travis Shaw. He's been through quite a bit. Things did not end the way that he had hoped in Boston. Was being platooned. Got a chance to come to Milwaukee, get a fresh start. Had a manager and organization that believed in him completely, and he's run with it. And like every other Brewer that I've spoken to, loves playing in that town, and especially in front of those fans. Brewer Nation, loving their team. They're in first place in the Central. They're at Philadelphia tonight. I'd love to hear from you Brewer fans. What do you think about Travis Shaw's acquisition? And what's the summer been like? Jay Duncan's 5 right away with the tweet. As a Sox fan, I would kill to have Shaw back at third base right now. That's great. And I see it working. I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, he just wrong place at the wrong time. And as he pointed out, then they asked him to platoon. He'd never done that before. Got into kind of a tough spiral and then got out of there and got the opportunity. And most of all, a manager said, look, you're my guy. We're not doing that to you here. We brought you here to play. You're our guy. You don't need to worry about that. You don't need to be looking over your shoulder. And the guy's flourished. And that despite what he's dealing with off the field. 1-800-636-8686. It is toll free. What do you want to do with the last 45 minutes of the program? It is now wide open. We can go anywhere with it. I definitely want to hit the smack off. We're now a week out. 1 week from the most important day of the year. So I'll hit that when we come back. I want to hit the notion of cameos in the smack off. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. That's coming up. The week that was is coming up. And I've got a few more thoughts. Use that telephone number. Even if you don't want to be in the smack off, there's got to be something you want to talk about based on what happened yesterday or today. Hugh Freeze, Orenthal, or anything else. Hit me on Twitter if you want, at Jim Rome. Take a short time out, and we're coming right back. Wide open the rest of the way. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Live in Southern California, having a nice Friday. Somebody pick up the phone, make that phone call, elevate this conversation. And we'll do that when we return.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Best we get is a $50 gift card also from O'Reilly. I have not mentioned that, so hit me on Twitter. Best we get is a $50 gift card. I still have thoughts on Ezekiel Elliott that I haven't gotten to. I've got thoughts on Derrick Rose, maybe going to the Cavaliers, which I've not gotten to yet. So this is not a case where, yeah, I got nothing to talk about. What am I going to do? I think I'll just talk about that smack off. Now, I'm going to skip those things because I want to talk about the smack off because now we're a week out. Exactly 1 week from the most important day of the year in the jungle, the 23rd annual smack off. Winner gets $5K. Yesterday, lost in Orenthal getting sprung, was Brad in Corona. So while the entire world was honed in on Nordberg getting his parole granted yesterday, the one thing that I think was lost in the shuffle was the fact that a three-time smack-off winner, Brad and Corona, officially RSVP'd for next Friday's event. Last we heard from Brad, he made it clear that it was not his official RSVP. So there were rumors that he might have a scheduling conflict, that he wasn't going to come in. We weren't sure. Instead, he used that call to go Iron Mike Tyson and take a giant bite out of Left's satellite dish ears.
Seriously, Rome, I don't know if you've seen Left's ears lately, but I'm pretty sure with those radar dishes tacked to the sides of his head that that dude can listen to your show without ever actually turning on his radio. He just opens the sunroof in his car, points his big old butt chin toward the heavens, and beams the signal directly through those ears and into his brain, Jim. The dude is a legend. Rumor has it he can hear a whisper from over 50 miles away. Hey, Lef, you're a gimmicky little bitch.
Hey, Brad, that wasn't the RSVP, was it? It wasn't. It wasn't. That was not an RSVP call. So we're still left to wonder, what was the guy in or is the guy out? And then he picks up the phone again yesterday, and he makes it clear he will be back a week from today for Smack-Off 23.
Shout out to Mike and Indy. Michael, I'm a big fan of yours. I always have been. You always seem very concerned about your place in jungle history and whether you're the greatest of all time. And as a three-time Smack-Off champion, I can tell you I've been thinking a lot about your place in this jungle lately, and I've got it. You, my friend, are the Hakeem Olajuwon of the jungle. We all know you're good. We kind of remember that one time you won a championship when Jordan wasn't around, but in the end, we really just like to laugh at you because you talk so funny. That's going to do it for me, Jim. I will talk to you next week. Before I go, I'm in the competition, and I just want to say that Vic in NoCal is a big clam. See you soon, boys.
All right, so we'll see him on Friday. I'm actually glad for it. I mean, a smack off without Brad and Corona is kind of like a Bourne movie without Damon. I mean, it might be entertaining on some level, but it still wouldn't feel right. See you in a week, Bradford. So he's officially in. And it got me to thinking about the event, what works and what does not work. Now, before Lef MacGyvered my locks and he SWAT teamed this studio last year, there was a common theme rolling with the Smackoff, and it started to feel like the year of the cameo. Now, the cameo can work. The cameo can show how much clout and cred a caller has. It's why live studio audiences lose their minds when a special guest star busts out into sitcom sound stages that you don't expect, or when a rock star has another star shock everybody and walk out and do a number or two. I mean, game respects game. Now, do you need cameos? Of course not. Did Left need Rich Smackerman to cameo in that call to win it all? No, he didn't, but it helped. It definitely helped. It didn't win him the title, but it had something to do with him ripping that crown. But Left was not the first. He was only the latest. Let's go ahead and take a look back at some of the best cameos over the years, because that was far from the first. You go all the way back to 1997. 97. Last year may have been the year of the cameo, but it goes way back to 97, when none other than Terrence in Sierra Madre came on with his brother.
In closing, Rome, I'd just like to say, what an honor it is.
Terrence, what are you reading over there?
Shut up. I'm not reading anything, okay?
Okay, whatever.
As I was saying, Rome, before I was so rudely interrupted.
Hey, turn the damn stereo off. I'm trying to win the smack off. Hey, Terrence, what makes you the boss of me?
This does.
Whoa, Terrence, put the gun down. I won't turn the stereo on again, I promise.
Too late, Buck.
That felt well below average, Terrence.
Well, I guess I gotta go, Romy.
20 years ago, that call happened longer than some of you have been alive. 20 years ago. And can I tell you, 20 years ago, that was kind of funny right now. 20 years ago, that was like the funniest thing ever. Once again, Terrence may have been the best of the old school. And I have no idea what happened to Terrence. I have no idea where he is. And not to be dark about it, I have no idea if he's even amongst the rest of us. I really don't know. And at this point, I'm not sure I want to know. I prefer to think about what used to be with this cat, because in the history of this show, there has never been another caller like Terrence in Sierra Madre. And I hate that the new breed knows almost nothing about Terrence or his calls. I hate that. That call was 20 years ago. Terrence never won. So Terrence probably, I mean, certainly is without question, the best caller never to win. And he might be the best caller, period. Terrence was incredible. And I have no idea where he is or what happened to him. Mark in Hollywood, going back to 2016. That's one we probably should have seen coming. Every single time Lee Jenkins would come into the jungle as a guest, every clone would thumb out the same exact joke about how Lee sounds exactly like Mark in Hollywood. So Mark addressed that by actually bringing Lee in on his call to give us one of the greatest side-by-side comparisons of all time.
Yeah, it's almost as if we both sound like two giddy tween girls getting ready for our first Justin Bieber concert.
Yeah, we sound like what I imagine Mike Tyson would sound like if he inhaled a bunch of helium right before a prostate exam. But, you know, on the bright side, Lee, it's nice to share this with somebody.
Yeah, I feel like we're definitely on the same page, almost as if...
we finished each other's sentences?
Exactly. So if I were to say I'm 99% sure that...
Brad and Corona has a dead fish handshake?
Or if I said I know for certain that Brad owns both Home and Away Riley Cooper jerseys. And if I were a betting man, I would bet it was really Brad who was running tape while asking Swaggy P about his side piece and then sold the tape to TMZ only to spend the money on beer and bail for Johnny Manziel. Damn, drop that beat, Lee.
Good on Lee. Well done, Mark. That call may win in any other year. That's how strong the field's gotten. That was last year. Then you've got Caleb in Green Bay the year before. Caleb has been in the Smackoff twice. Both times he's come with a cameo. Last year, he rolled with his mom, and it worked. It worked for him because it played right into his strategy. Defuse the bomb by making fun of yourself first. But the more impressive cameo that he pulled off came in his first Smackoff when he pulled two jungle favorites in on his call.
Thank you to the XR4TI for voting for me, and thank you to the Pimp in the Box for making Green Bay, Wisconsin, Title Town once again. Because in case you forgot, a couple of my buddies wanted to remind you of something.
Hey, Jim Rome, it's Randy and Jason Sklar. And you know what the Smackoff is? It's a walrus game.
We'll be right back.
You talk about playing to the host. Yeah, because the Sklars are made men in the jungle. And getting them in your corner is a solid pull. It earned him the bronze as a rookie. And a shout out to the brothers Sklar, who are not only extremely talented dudes, but two of the best dudes in the business. Great guys. Then you have Chael Sonnen, 2016. Last year, it was surprising to see Chael not team up with Mike and Indy for the first time in quite some time, but that's because Chael had plans for another tag team partner, one Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Today's not a day to guess. It's not a day to wonder and hypothesize. I gotta know. So what would Stone Cold Steve Austin do? How do we know? Maybe...
know what Stone Cold Steve Austin would do in the smack off on the biggest day of the biggest show in Jim Rome Jungle? Hell, son, I'd show up, I'd raise as much hell as possible, and then I'd leave. So crown Chael, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Oh, yeah, there. That's what I needed. Thank you, Steve.
That's what he needed. Hey, look, Chael, the thing is, he doesn't need that. He doesn't need to roll the winger. He's one with a wingman, and he's one without one. But know this, if he wants, he can pull just about anybody with his call. Chael, to me, is a huge wild card. We know Chael has the game to win, but we have no idea what he's going to do this year other than bring the fire, because he said in his RSVP he was way too nice last year. But he's gone with the cameo. That was a big cameo. And then speaking of Chael, back in 2014, Mark in Hollywood held a smack-off listening party at Big Wang's. Mike in Indy infiltrated the party, but he himself was accompanied with a backup.
I told everyone a few months back that we flipped a high-ranking official from the West Coast Mafia to the Midwest. And when I say something's going to happen, it's going to happen. If I tell you a mouse can push a house, don't ask me how, just hook him up. If I tell you the moon is made of cheese, you can get you some crackers.
What if I tell you two of America's most wanted are in the same mother bleeping place at the same mother bleeping time?
Go easy on them, Chael.
Guys, don't worry about the things they found in my system. Be grateful for all the things they did. Was there ever a doubt in anyone's mind? Chael P., the godfather, your mother's favorite trail stalker, Jim Rome's favorite horse in a race when it's show?
I mean, for those who remember, that was easily one of the holy bleep moments, not only of the smack off, but of this entire program. That was a holy crap. Are you kidding me? We had no idea the 2012 champ Chael was even going to show up. We couldn't find him that day. We literally could not find him that day. We had no idea where he was, and we didn't know whether or not he would show. Then he teams up with another jungle legend, you know, kind of like Golden State teaming up with KD. If they waited to introduce KD in the middle of the finals. So in terms of the cameo, potentially it is a good play, potentially, if you do it right. But remember, if you roll with a cameo, the key is making it part of your call and using it to your advantage. It can't be your call. It can't be the call. It can't be a crutch. Looking forward to see who brings whom into the fold next week. So a quick back look at some of the best cameos during the smack-off. And Brad in Corona did RSVP yesterday. We'll come back. One last segment coming up next. I've got a Twitter contest. Best tweet gets a $50 gift card from O'Reilly Auto Parts. I've got the week that was from Alvi. And we're wide open for your telephone calls. ATP 2. Ask the pros. Look for somebody to come in with a good question to put us into the weekend. All that coming up in the next 20 minutes or so. But ATP, ask the pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You sign up and become an O-Rewards member today. Earn $5 back for every $150 you spend. Hurry in and start earning every time you shop. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, a couple of good questions. First one is from Albany. Larry in Albany writes, Jim, I've heard you say that Janet does not generally listen to the show. Do you ever consult with her about the content of the show, whether to address a particular topic or if your take goes too far? All right, a couple of things. No, I do not. I do not. And it's not because I don't respect Janet's opinion. It's because I don't need to ask her about whether or not something goes too far. She'll just tell me. See, Janet does not listen She just doesn't listen very often. I mean, she's certainly not going to be at home ever listening to the program. But if she's driving around in her car and she has time to listen to it, she will. And yes, I do get a text during the show sometimes, which reads something like, Jimmy, I don't know if you want to be saying that. I don't know if you want to be doing that. Are you sure that you want to say that? So I get that text from her. I definitely get that text. Never a call, but a text. So no, we don't really do... I don't consult with her for content, but she will consult with me on content. Sometimes Janet will text me and say, it's your producer wife. Maybe you do this. Maybe you don't do that. But what's even more interesting is, and you may or may not know this story, when I got my first big break in San Diego on 690 AM, Janet was a vice president of the Broadcast Corporation, which owned that radio station. So I get this big break on 690, but she was a vice president of human resources of a company that owned that and 20 other radio stations. And when I came on the air, I kind of went about it a different way, and they hadn't heard anything like me before. So I was on the air in San Diego. Corporate was in San Diego, and they would listen to the show on the way in, and they would all go up in the conference room, and they would all have a say in content. I mean, human resources, accounting, sales, everybody who had nothing to do with programming had a vote on programming. So back in the day, before I had even met her and she was a VP, I got on the air one day and said, man, Fernando Valenzuela, let me tell you about this guy. This guy's going to be on food stamps by the end of the month. Trust me on that. This guy cannot get anybody out. Nobody was saying things like that back in the day. So Janet goes up in this meeting as a vice president and says, hey, listen, I don't know where you got this guy, this new guy, this Jim Rome character. You need to fire him right away. I don't like this guy at all. In fact, I hate this guy. Do you know what he said about Fernando Valenzuela? Because Janet grew up in Long Beach, and they had Dodger tickets, her family. And she loved the Dodgers, and she loved Fernando Valenzuela, and couldn't believe that anybody would get on the radio and say something like that. Well, of course, the guy got cut at the end of the week, and I was right. So in terms of, does she try to advise me on content? No, well, yes, she does. But even more importantly, she tried to fire me back in the day. So what happened? I married her. Hope that answers your question, Larry. Let's see, Jordan. Jordan from Baton Rouge says, Rome, how was your dinner with Gary V? Where did you guys go? Thanks. Jordan in Red Stick. All right, so the dinner with Gary V was awesome. Great, great dinner. You know what it was? If you heard Yogi Roth earlier today, Gary Vee was in L.A. doing what Gary Vee does. I mean, Gary, if you watch Gary on his daily vlog, I mean, he literally, the night that I spent or the hour that I spent with him was exactly the way he shows up online. This guy, he is working all day long. Meeting, 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 meeting. So he was at USC with the Trojans and Yogi, and I came up to L.A., and I posted up in this hotel because we had dinner at 9 o'clock. And then the dinner became a 7:30 dinner. Then the dinner became an 8 o'clock dinner. So we go to this restaurant right next door to the hotel. And I sit with Gary. And we have this really intense, awesome conversation for about 1 hour. And he eats a little bit. And the guy comes over. Because Gary V is a big wine guy, the sommelier came over. And he loved to see Gary V. I mean, look right through me. He had no idea who I was. But he knew Gary V. Poured a couple of glasses of wine. Gary sampled a couple of glasses of wine, and Gary's like, he's locked in. We're having this really intense conversation, and he's locked in. He's asking me about, not even about business, which we talked about, but he's saying, like what were you like growing up? What was your family like? Like, really interested and really deep. And then literally after an hour, Gary says, hey, Jim, that was great, man. It was so great to get to know you even better. You and I are going to be friends. And just gone, just bounced. And then it's like 9 o'clock. And I'm going out to get my car, and Gary literally is going to another meeting at 9 p.m. He's been going all day long. So we had a great dinner. Great dinner, great conversation. I'll give you one more bonus. Rich in Calgary. Jim, what are the stories behind the two drops? Twiddle and emails that Alvin slips into the week that was. They make my week complete every time I get to hear them randomly sprinkled into the week that was. Thanks, Rich. All right, as for the emails drop, it's actually Brad and Corona making fun of Vic and NoCal.
Emails.
There, that. When you say Twiddle, you mean like Twitter or Twitter? That's my man, the late, great Raider, Quentin Groves.
Follow me on Twitter. Look at me on Skype. Quentin Groves getting hype all damn night.
He passed away, so that's very sad. That's very sad. But whenever I hear that, it brings a big smile to my face. He literally stole a correspondent piece once. It was 2010. He showed up out of nowhere and ripped that. The correspondent piece was something I did for ESPN on Jim Rome is Burning, where we'd follow an athlete around for a little while. He showed up as a cameo, speaking of cameos, and just nailed it. Speaking of the WTW, the Alvin DeLauro production. Alvy, what do you got this week? Yeah, 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 yeah. Clones, what's going on? Welcome to the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. I am back.
Question is for how long?
But I am back, and it's good to be back.
In fact, check that. It's great to be back.
Email.
Welcome back, Jimmy. Here are the highlights.
Forward
passes are now allowed in the NFL. A festival showcasing feats of strength, speed, and endurance was invented near Athens.
It was gone a week, bro.
And thank God my next break is 2 weeks.
Yeah! His little legs, his little core, his little head.
I think that he's got the best rap I've ever heard of any athlete in any sport since I've done this.
What are you doing with a school bag on stage? You can't even read.
I've interviewed thousands of athletes.
This guy's got the best rap I've ever heard.
It's not going to help him in the ring
against Floyd Mayweather.
50 strippers on his payroll, this man.
But I'll tell you what he did. He's got no business getting in the ring with Floyd Mayweather.
Daryl Morey.
If you took players on every team, not on Cleveland and Golden State, could you assemble a team that would for sure be Golden State? It's going to be a tough road to beat them.
Shields hits crisp, and Coco is going to head
Coco
out.
Crisp.
Before that, I told Tito, I only had Tito. But this kid, I'm probably going to get kicked out of this game. So I charged the mound, and James Shields threw a 95-mile-per-hour hook at me. I went into get-out-the-way mode, and probably would have landed a cleaner punch, but Navarro, he ended up doing his job, landed a glancing blow.
Bounce, 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 bounce. Kelly's not emailing
dude,
me.
Dude, no,
what do you mean I gotta
no,
get
no.
out, Alvin? What do you mean by that?
To quote Alvin, I don't see nothing wrong.
That's about enough, Alvin. On that note, I will get out.
After discussions with Kurt.
Might be time then for Bartholomew Allen to step away from these negotiations and let somebody else step in.
Couldn't have jacked that up any worse.
Kurt is obviously in.
Matt Ryan.
You know, I've always felt like the ones that get away, for whatever reason, have been the ones that I've thought about more. You know, I probably hate losing more than I like winning. Now, maybe that's not the right way, but that's kind of how I'm wired.
Dan Wetzel is everywhere. Why are you such a staunch advocate for Busch Light?
You drink a whole bunch of them and you wake up the next day, you hardly even know it. Tastes good, refreshing. It's like an anti-hangover because I think it's mostly water.
Dave in Wisconsin.
Busch Light is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I got 430 packs in my garage.
At any given sitting, how many of those Busch Lights do you slam?
Oh, I choose not to count, Jim.
Classy, my man.
A little nervous to call in because I thought maybe I wasn't cracked up for the radio caller thing when I got a little nervous talking to the Sparrow. He's not really that intimidating, but...
This is how we communicate with each other. Justin Fuente.
This season, we can't dip our toes in the pool, see if it's warm or cold or if we like it and ease our way in. We've got to go get on the high dive and jump in the pool.
Twitter.
Their next level. Going with a Guns N' Roses video. Big shout out and big props to Virginia Tech. Ben Mesrick, the naked mole rat.
The naked mole rat lives 35 years, while regular rats only live 3 years. So in this lab, they're trying to figure out why that is.
Ben, let's get some phone calls in here.
If you release mammoth, what would the impact on the people be?
When they insert this embryo, if it's going to be the same?
How do we protect them from being hunted?
How does that preserve the permafrost, right, the increased activity of the ground would eat it?
Have you guys considered using a different species for doing the gestation, such as like Rob or Rex Ryan?
The best questions I've gotten in my entire book tour.
Just say asked. It again.
Best questions I've gotten on my entire book tour.
From the clones.
From the
it
clones.
Is the smartest half hour of it radio is. I think I've ever done.
Right.
So if anybody should know not to stick a piece of fish in the microwave on a day where we have business and company, you'd think it would be Alvin. Dude, if you told me we were having company, I wouldn't have done that. You know that.
Philip Rivers.
But shoot, I'm a big kid out there that loves to play when it comes to the game, and I think that finally, at least I hope, I know the people that know me do, that it is received that way now.
Yeah, today is my 20th anniversary. You know that, right? Makes me think about my wedding night. Hey-o!
Happy anniversary, sweetheart.
20 freaking years.
It was my property. I wasn't there to steal from anybody.
I don't know. If it were me and I had spent 9 years there already, I think that I'd just roll out there and say, I'm sorry. Bad mistake.
Audio of me beat the real me, but never mind. I'm in the competition, and I just want to say that Vic in NoCal is a big
Derek Carr is my guest. I'm curious, why was Kobe your guy?
He's the most competitive person I could ever find. I don't care who you put next to me. I'm going to outwork you. I'm going to bite your head off to try and win that game.
We're talking to Mike Leach.
Heck, I got fired and they didn't even pay me for 2009, and that's the last time that Texas Tech has won 9 games. Chancellor at the end, Kent Hansen, so I will name his name, who is a liar, a cheat, and a thief.
And a thief.
Don't expect the truth to come out of his mouth.
A conflict-free
man is all that's left.
My vote is to grant your parole effective.
You'll be up. But I think this guy beat that rap.
We discovered a pattern of conduct that is not consistent with our expectations.
The old misdialed the hooker excuse. Mike Freeman.
Jim, I'm sorry. I'm putting my burner phone away real quick.
Burning.
Watch Star Trek like Jim does every night, like me. Dude, just chill.
I mean, keep my name out of your mouth, Mike. I've never seen Star Trek. You know I would never do that.
No retreat, no surrender, all in next Friday and beyond.
Send some love off to Trap. Tell him he's got all the support from this end in the world that he could possibly imagine.
O.J. Simpson, not busted, masturbating in prison. There you go.
Man, you do your homework.
But I'm 9 days off the bush.
The Brooklyn hipsters hate me.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jim. Appreciate it.
Good night now!
Good job, Albie. Twitter contest brought to you by O'Reilly's. $50 gift card to the best tweet of the day. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. At Gamblin Engineer tweets, I'm looking forward to meeting the juice and telling him about Jesus at the Bunny Ranch. Sincerely, Hugh, formerly in Oxford. Den Lusks, you already know he's not going to win. Den Lusks, no need for Logan to go away to college. We were homeschooled and had an absolute blast. Eric and Lyle. Like I said, there's no way he's going to win. Brian in Rochester. Dear Bunny Ranch, the juice should be the least of your worries. Signed, herpes. You're not going to win either, Brian. Steve PHX tweets, that 20-year-old call from Terrence still holds up today. Regards the original Tron movie. Rich in the 970. Did we hear you mentioning Cameo? Word up. Regards Tommy Jenkins, Larry Blackman, and Charlie Singleton. A Cameo reset from the members of Cameo. Hey, Albie, does somebody have to win? Do we have to give that gift card away? Can I turn that into a $100 gift card next week? Word up. It's got to go to Rich. You got it, Rich. Hey, Rich, you're the best of the worst. You're the best of the worst, and that's why you have a $50 gift card. Don't spend it all in one place, Richie. Now we're done.
Now I'm
my
done.
Thanks to Yogi Roth, who crushed it. Mike Freeman was incredible. Travis Shaw also came in. Clones, have yourselves an amazing weekend, and know that when we come back on Monday, it is officially smack-off week. Officially smack-off week. Have an incredible weekend. My thanks to the XR4TI crew and all you clones for making today a great day. See you on Monday. We're out.